This morning, we are pausing on our Chronicles series to look to God's Word to calm our troubled hearts. I got a text from Jesse Riegler, and he said that they are at home, dressed up in their church clothes, watching us this morning, and I really appreciate that. It's a joy to my heart knowing that. As we're looking at an empty building, it's a little unnerving this morning. As we go to the reading of God's Word, please join me in prayer. Lord our God, all creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, sing in endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Our Father, majesty unbounded, worthy of all worship, you, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. And you, Holy Spirit, advocate and guide, we praise you and declare your great worth, O triune God. And from your word today, we ask that you would reveal to us your truth and allow it to conquer our anxious hearts. And this we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 55, verses 1 to 7. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan, because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away, I would lodge in the wilderness. The word of the Lord. How strange to be preaching to a camera. I really don't want to get used to it. For some time now, the modern age has been referred to as the age of anxiety. And the last couple of months have taken this to former Soviet Union Olympic steroid levels. And this last week, it's been like the booster rocket on the space shuttle. We are now in a whole new orbit. And this is new for us. 9/11 was a different kind of devastation, a different kind of loss, a different kind of national solidarity. There was not a sense of fear and anxiety that lasted this long. All of that quickly gave way to resolve, to action. We joined together, and now we are asked to separate. 24-hour headline news is streaming to our phones, to our homes, and it's as if the world has gone all caps, all day and all night long. With the psalmist, we want to fly away. The unknown causes us fear. It exposes our hearts. The good news is that this is not new news to the Lord. None of this has taken him by surprise. It is all known to our God. He is not moved, nor is he shaken, nor is he indifferent to our concerns. Our God sees, and he has responded to our plight. He has sent his Son, not simply to feel our pain, but to conquer it. And because Jesus has borne our fears and our anxieties, we are to continue to cast our cares upon him. Now, fear and anxiety are close cousins with a lot of overlap. Fear tends to speak of a real or imagined danger, while anxiety is more of a general worry, a vague feeling about something unknown and not well defined. The Bible is not a manual, though, for cataloging disorders. So anxiety, fears, worry, and cares are all used interchangeably. The good news, of course, is that our hope remains the same. And to be sure, our anxiety and our fears are indeed very great at the moment. But so it has been for God's people throughout history. Our time is not unique. Each of us at some point or other face what seems like insurmountable odds to us. It fills our hearts with dread. The sheer number of psalms speak of fear, worries, anxieties. All of that from the believer. And that should comfort us. We're not alone. This is not something new. In Psalm 94:19, we read, when anxiety was great within me. What was the cause of this great anxiety? Well, the psalmist was concerned about wicked rulers and injustice. Anxious over politics. And in Psalm 55, David calls out to the Lord because of his anxiety over personal enemies. He says, give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not yourself from my plea of mercy. Attend to me. Answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan. David feels how many of us are feeling right now. Look at verse 4. He says, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. That's how we're feeling. And then, of course, verses 6 and 7, we resonate with that. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away, I would lodge in the wilderness. That sounds very appealing, to fly away, to go to the wilderness. And then we remember, we live in Montana, we are the wilderness. Everybody wants to come here, and we want to go somewhere else. We're not very excited about the thought of maybe getting on a plane and going to this magical place where there are no troubles. They're everywhere. There's nowhere to run. And waiting in times of trouble, it's hard for us to do. In the Psalms, more than a dozen times we get with how long? How long, O Lord? We often see then a mixture of the psalmist expressing courage to the Lord even while he expresses his fear, his worry. Psalm 27 begins with this great, courageous statement. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? By the time to verse 9. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Quite a shift. How does one see the headlines that are coming at us right now and not feel fear and anxiousness? It's all over there. Emergency room strained to keep doctors on the job. Italy, cases soar. Top official says everyone is going to get it. That's overwhelming. And when those things come, we can express great statements of faith, even followed by intense pleas for help. We really understand what the man who came to Jesus wanting his son healed in Mark 9 said. He says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And that is where we are. Added to all this, we live in a time when many are no longer anchored to the Word of God. They face these challenges alone. We are feeling this globally right now. If this life is all that you get, your health becomes an idol of King Nebuchadnezzar proportions. Many, of course, think they're in control of their own destinies, of their own reality. And then life comes along and it strips all that away. They're not in control like they've wanted to think. It's like they're flying in an airplane, waking up from a nap, and they realize with terror there are no pilots, running up to the cockpit, opening up that door, and it's not a cockpit, just a forward storage locker. Peanuts, coffee cups, and excess rolls of toilet paper. That's what we're finding. Not so for God's people. We have someone who's in control. We know the destiny before us because of our God. Now, strange as it may sound, we worry in order to try to regain control. You see, if I worry enough, I feel like I have done something. I feel like I've done something to get my control back. Anger is often used in the same way. If I get mad, at least I'm doing something. I'm not helpless. No, those are not good responses. What are we to do? Where is our help? Psalm 94:19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. For the believer, God's comfort is a source of great joy and consolation. We're not alone. Someone is in control. But certainly, we need to say more than that. At this point, we could just say to somebody, well, you just need to stop being fearful. God's in control. Wow, thanks. I wish I thought of that a while ago before my third trip to Costco. That doesn't help. God is in control. But that doesn't immediately fix the problem before us. We lock in on worry, and it's not easily shaken loose. We're more than a mind. Our whole bodies are involved in this, as you all know. The psalmist tells us that in Psalm 22. He says, my heart is in anguish within me. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melted within my breast. My strength is dried up. My tongue sticks to my jaws. Fear and anxiety are full meal deals. We get our whole bodies involved. And the more entrenched, the more difficult to change. Telling someone not to be afraid is often just an accusation towards them, not a call to hope in the Lord. So what are we to do? What will help? Well, we don't just give in and say, well, that's just the way I am. The Lord's desire for his people is to walk in freedom. 1 Peter 5, he says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. The Lord really does care. We're not simply whistling in the dark. Casting our anxieties is an action. It's something we do. And if we pick up those anxieties, we cast them back down again. And because God has made us physical creatures, we also have physical helps. When your doctor tells you, as you're walking out the door, eat well, get plenty of rest and exercise, that's not just because he has to say that. It's really true. That's not throwaway advice. It's a part of how God has made us. Those things really help. Breathing exercise, stretching, going for a walk in this beautiful weather that God has blessed us with right now. Those things help. And when it comes to dealing with anxiety and fear, there's no quick fix for us on the horizon. We know that. Our anxieties right now are great, but there is a greater peace. David writes a psalm after he was with the Philistines and he pretended to be mad because he was afraid. And afterwards he writes in Psalm 56, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? See, God was greater than his fears. He allowed God's truth to triumph his anxious heart. In the bulletin, the long quote, I'm just going to give you a shortened form of it. It's wise words. The writer you've probably not heard of, but he says, many Christians have stopped believing in the truth and the power of their beliefs. They measure the power of faith by their own weakness. They project God's world into their own psychological makeup instead of letting God measure them. They do something that Christians are forbidden to do. They observe faith from the outside. They doubt the power of hope. They deprive themselves of the power of love, and they lie down and rest in the chasm between the truths of Christianity and their own failure. In a chasm that for a Christian is no place at all. It is any wonder that anxiety seizes them on account of this placelessness. We put ourselves, when we judge outside of faith, in a placelessness. And like a breath on a mirror, anxiety clouds our faith. There can be a vertigo between fear and hope that gives us a placelessness. David has found his place. He has found the ground to stand on. David allowed the truth of who God is to invade his fears rather than allow his fears to invade his faith. Jesus said of himself in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He is the truth. And in this truth, in John 16, when he's giving his final instructions to his disciples, he warned them trouble was coming, that he would be taken from them. They would be scattered, each to his own home. And this is what he said in John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In the world is trouble. Tribulation, but in Jesus is peace. He's overcome it. And then later, we read that when they were all shut up in a room, afraid of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and what did he say? Peace be with you. And he said it twice, because I'm sure their fears were great. Peace be with you. Jesus has borne the anxieties of the world. He is the way of peace. Paul says to us in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Ephesians 2, he says that Jesus is our peace. Then he goes on to say that Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far off, and he preached peace to those who were near, because he has given us right status with God. We have peace. We have that shalom. We have that well-being with our Heavenly Father. And now we can also experience that peace with one another. That God's peace would rule our hearts this day. And a very familiar passage to us from Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What does rejoicing do? It allows God's truth to penetrate our fears. The truth that we give thanks to God for his goodness, even at times when we're not sure where it is. Then he goes on in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, Paul is not just saying stop it. He's instructing us in real hope. Go to our God who listens and speak to him. And what is the result? Verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We are to preach the gospel to ourselves. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came according to the scriptures. Jesus lived a perfect life. He was crucified for our sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. He will come again in power and glory to judge the living and the dead. Allow this day the truth of who God is, of who Jesus is and what he has done. Allow this truth to invade and conquer your fears. For he has overcome our sin and death. You'll pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you today as a people, perplexed, given to fear, anxiety, uncertain of tomorrow. And Lord, we do confess our doubts in you as sin. And we ask that you would not only forgive us, but Lord, that you would strengthen our faith, that the truth of who you are would invade our fears, that you would conquer them. And Father, we pray that you would give us boldness and courage to go before a world that is adrift without anyone from their vantage point steering the plane. To go before them, Father, and to live out our faith as Christians. Father, because you are true, you are right, and you are good. We pray a blessing upon those who are home with their families or maybe alone. We pray that you would encourage their hearts and give them, Father, joy in believing. Your blessing we do ask and pray through Jesus, our great Lord and Savior. Amen.